Let's begin with prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for who you are. Thank you for your calling on our lives and for the grace that you provide to fulfill them. Be with this class today. We know that without you present, our time spent together here will be empty. So we invite you to teach us truth and to help us to apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. A while ago, it's probably been a couple years ago, I was emailing, corresponding with a lady, and her email address, I suddenly noticed, was loved by a soldier. And it just sent a little thrill through me, especially when I realized that that's me. I'm loved by a soldier. And that's you. We ladies here have husbands who are serving on the front lines in our schools and in our churches. And it's our privilege and responsibility to support them in their calling. Ellen is not here today, but I'm going to read you a story from her book. How many of you have read Ellen's book? I'm just curious. I highly recommend it, an excellent book written by a lady of experience. It's called, this story is Supporting the Front Line. Joe drove up the narrow lane carefully, checking the rearview mirrors to make sure the shed he was delivering didn't knock the branches off the trees lining the driveway. Must be at the right place, he guessed. That's the lady who gave the down payment. But two children? She's too old to be carrying toddlers. Good morning, Mrs. Engel greeted him. You're just in time. Mary and the children moved in yesterday. We'll fill this shed right away with most of their stuff and some of ours. They had to sell their house. So these are your grandchildren? Joe wasn't sure how much to ask. They are, Mrs. Engel answered proudly. They'll miss their daddy, that's for sure. But we're so glad we can help out. She lowered her voice. He leaves next week for Afghanistan. He's only been in the reserves 2 years, so we don't know how long he'll be gone. I quit my part-time job to help take care of the little ones. We have a 3-month-old baby in the house, too. And Mary, well, this is pretty hard for her, with Bill leaving so soon after the baby was born. But at least he got to see his baby. Some servicemen don't. And we're lucky to be able to take care of them. My husband is glad he didn't retire yet. He could have this spring, but it's all working out. Joe swallowed hard, glad Mrs. Engel wasn't expecting a reply yet. When she paused, he answered, Mrs. Engel, you're just the support Mary needs. I wish you good health and lots of energy. We have 3 little children, too. Joe had a lot to think about as he drove back to the shop with the empty trailer. What an attitude. Sounds a little different from what Kevin was telling me yesterday. He said this will be his last year of teaching school. It's just too hard on Karen for him to leave so early in the morning and to be tied down to the school schedule. She wishes he'd have a job where he could get off to go shopping or to go to the doctor with her, and they wouldn't have to ask a school board for a few days' vacation. Guess the last straw was when he was gone for 10 days to attend a parent-teacher conference back east. Joe's thoughts shifted to Mrs. Engel and Mary and her husband. For every man in the U.S. Army, there is a whole string of support personnel behind him. Someone had to keep him clothed, fed, and his machines serviced. The supply lines had to be manned and the supplies delivered. Plus, there's a support team back home. Mr. Engel was thankful he hadn't retired yet so he could support his son-in-law's family. Mrs. Engel was willing to interrupt her routine to help raise the grandbabies. And Bill and Mary were selling their home, Mary moving back in with the parents. We're going to discuss 3 points. You can see them on your paper there. My heart's attitude, my husband's call, and supporting the front line. And it's from this story that I take that last title. my heart's attitude. I'm thinking of being versus only doing. For example, I can teach a Sunday school class, but if I'm home studying and the children are interrupting me and I get impatient with the children, that's who I really am. Sometimes it's harder to be than to do. School board ladies can organize a dinner for a school picnic, but at home they can complain to their husband about the other school board member's wife who just didn't do her share of the load. It's being and doing. And if we're not being the right person, we can't serve rightly either. So I make this point first out of the three, because if we don't get this right, we won't get any of the others right either. And I'm talking to myself. Please don't think that I'm a perfect example of this. I'm learning. Worship, again, I'm taking this from Ellen's book. Worship precedes service. Amy Carmichael and George Mueller are two prime examples of this. Both spent hours a day praying, and yet they had time to accomplish God's will for their lives. In fact, maybe that's the only way they could actually accomplish it. Jesus, too, was an example of spending hours in prayer. So, question number one. How do you make time in the demands of life to develop a heart of devotion to God? I don't know. What are some things that you've learned? You'll have to, don't let the crowd intimidate you, please. You'll have to speak up. But I am here to learn from you, because this has not been an easy thing for me. So what are your experiences? I'm going to step back here just so you can hear and repeat. Correct me if you need to. She says that right now she's reading through the book of James with a friend. Keeping accountable to a friend. And she does about 4 verses a day and then copies them into a notebook. Reads and copies them just to give her time to process them in a slow, thoughtful manner. And she said she had done Galatians earlier. It's just a way of, you know how it is, it's easy to breeze through a chapter and you're done for the day without really engaging with God's word or changing anything in your life. Thank you very much. Anyone else? Yes, that is excellent, Rebecca. She said that if there is a verse that especially stands out to her, she'll copy it and put it in a prominent place in the kitchen or somewhere where she can easily see it, because it's easy to forget later on in the day what you even read that morning. And yeah, I would definitely second that. If you have a journal, write it down, because it's amazing the next day. You can learn a truth that is so important that you really need, and tomorrow you can't remember what it was. But if you write it down in a journal or put it somewhere where you can see it, you can come back to it again and refresh that lesson. Okay. Any more on that before we move on to the next one? I'm sure that there's lots of good experience out there. But yes, thank you. Yes, it has something to do, once again, with who we are and what we value and what is important to us. But her emphasis there, and I like it, was to keep trying. So the baby woke up this morning. Okay, be flexible enough to accept that. God allowed it to happen. Find another spot in your day, even just to write up that verse, and try again tomorrow or this afternoon. Or, you know, there's a lot of mindless things that ladies do, like washing dishes doesn't really take your brains, or ironing, or, you know, those are good times to memorize or to think some good constructive things rather than complaining negative type of thoughts like we sometimes do when we're working mindlessly. So take your thoughts into captivity and take advantage of the opportunities you have. And yes, keep trying. Thank you. Let's move on. The next section is my husband's call. how ought we to look at our husband's call? I'm thinking primarily to the school board, but you know, if he's a school teacher, I know different ones of your husbands are in different responsibilities. Is this a term of service that you're putting in? Did the church call you to this? Is it a mission? Or your husband's vision? How should you look at this? How do you view his call? And here again, I'm open. Good point. It's God's call. I asked my husband this morning, how do I know that it's God's call? Because the church voted you in. I guess we could get technical or not, but even for an ordination, the church gives the nominations. God uses the church to structure his people's work, his people and their work. Yes, if we can view it as a call from God, definitely it will make a difference in how we serve, because if it's a term of service, we're just putting in our time for these 2 years or these four till I'm done, and we'll make do the best we can. Yes, she talks about being involved in what her husband is doing, as in coming to the CASB meetings with him. You all did that and showed your support by doing that. That is valuable, very valuable. So, back to how I'm viewing it. If this call is only from the church, well then, what if church people misunderstand me and my efforts? Or what if we're not appreciated? Then it just makes you feel like quitting, because that's who you're serving, is the church. That's as high as your call is. But if you're actually doing this for God, it goes beyond that. Even when no appreciation is expressed, it's more like a mission or a vision. Let's quickly go on to the next three words there. Accept, surrender, and embrace. Is there a certain order for these words? A correct order? What is the correct order? Thank you very much. Yes, first, I don't know, accept or surrender. In a way, they're a little similar. But I interpret accept as it's okay with me that he's on the board or that he's a teacher. That's accepting. Surrender is when I'm willing to sacrifice for his call. And embrace is when I hold his call as something valuable. It's a mission. It's something I'm doing. I'm going to support him in with my whole heart. Accept, surrender, and embrace. I want to emphasize this clearly. We are not the front line. We only support the front line. My husband's call is not about me. It's about God. It's about my husband serving in obedience under God and me supporting him. It's his call. And how I view it is important, because that is how I'm going to serve. I'm going to serve out of that. Okay, let's go to the last section. Yeah, this is the practical one. I did really want to spend some time here. I'm pretty much letting this one open. So back to supporting the front line. We're going to start with the negative. Sometimes it's easier to find the positive when we look at the negative. What are some hindrances that I can bring to my soldier? I'd like to have at least five. There's more than that, but let's have at least five. You hear some of them all the time, but let's hear them again.
We laugh because we can identify. That's why we laugh. Yes, the busy, busy schedule. It just makes you feel like complaining sometimes, doesn't it? But what a drag on your husband. If it's another meeting, and we just had one last night too. Yes, complaining is a hindrance. And even if you don't say it, it's your attitude. Okay, what else? Okay, not staying in our place, taking over our husband's place or telling him what to do or what should not be done. And right along with that, I'm going to add, sometimes the relationships among the ladies that are responsible, like among school board ladies, can get kind of stressed too. We're ladies. And it just happens. But if the school board ladies have trouble accepting each other and working together, guess what? It's a weight on their husbands. It makes their job difficult too. And it wouldn't have to. Okay, what else? That's two. Negativity and criticism, and this one is so subtle. It's just an attitude. I really don't have to say a whole lot. I just don't think he can do it good enough, or he didn't do it good enough, or you know what I'm talking about. not just in relation to our husband, but to our responsibilities, whatever. Okay, what else? Yes, that's a hard one. Disinterest in what's happening in his world. That is a hard one because he comes home and he's talking about what happened at the school board meeting, but I'm trying to take care of the baby at the same time. Sometimes, you know, it just feels like you're pulled several directions at once. But make him number one. Once again, Ellen talks about that in her book. Yes, being needy. Now, he needs you to depend on him. We all know that. But, you know, you could fill the lawnmower with gas yourself or run to the feed store and pick up that bag of feed. You could do it, you know. Do what you can rather than just expecting him to pick up all. And Ellen talks about that again in a chapter in this book. She calls it killing our own snakes. There are some things we just need to do for ourselves. I'm also going to read you a paragraph out of here that I'm going to call emotional baggage. That is a weight that we can put on our husband unnecessarily. Your sustaining power should come from a close relationship with God, not from a phone call to your husband. If we think and speak negatively, we can wear down our husbands emotionally. Gossip, complaints, and little hurts can be screened. Just because we heard it doesn't mean that our husband has to. We must find the balance between what is sharing our heart and what is emotional chatter. I had to think about that one for a while. Gossip, complaints, and little hurts can be screened. He doesn't need to be bugged with those. Now, trust me, you know I'm not talking about communicating and the things that are important, but some of those are just emotional baggage on a lady's heart that can be dealt with otherwise. And let's be careful about comparing our situation to those who have it nicer. There's going to be some stuff that doesn't get done around the house because your husband has other responsibilities. He's a soldier, remember. Okay, what is true support? We've kind of touched on these already, but do you have something you would like to add to it?
Let me make sure I heard you right. Be sure supper is on time.
Okay. Right, you can help in little ways. She suggests make sure supper's ready on time when he has a meeting that evening so he can eat before he leaves.
Thank you. Pray for him. I don't think I even understand how powerful this is. I don't know if we can. Pray for him. So foundational, so important. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. We're in a warfare. Anything else?
I'm sorry.
Yes, let the children hear your appreciation for their daddy. That is the first thing that comes to my mind is killing two birds with one stone. It's good for your children and it's good for their daddy. Yes, let's express our gratitude freely. We don't have it nice always, I know. There are sacrifices we need to make. But you married a soldier. Express your gratitude. You married a good man. If you wouldn't have, he wouldn't be teaching school, or he wouldn't be eligible for the school board. You married a good man. Let him know. Okay, and let's go on to the next section. How do you stand behind him in difficult times? And I'm thinking when he's discouraged, or when he's criticized, or overloaded. Do you have some practical input, some experience, or have you seen somebody else in the situation? Let him know you believe in him. We probably don't understand how far that goes. Yes. Take the opportunity to put a note in his lunchbox. It's a little thing, but it's just a little ray of sunshine when he really needs it. All right. The comments there is don't be a drag on him by expecting him to do something else. Pick up the milk on the way home yet. Yes, that's fine sometimes, but if he forgets, then it's okay. And to be there for him, yes. To listen, let him unwind when he's ready. Mm-hmm. Okay, we really need to wrap this up. I would love to hear more, but let's the quote by David Livingstone at the bottom of the page is such a good reminder for any of us. If a commission by an earthly king is considered an honor, how can a commission by a heavenly king be considered a sacrifice? Thank you for sharing. Thank you for showing your support to your husband by being here. God bless you all. You're dismissed.
For more free resources that support teaching and learning, visit thedocforlearning.org.